Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast, where every week we get together, we put the clues together, and we try and figure out who is who and who's behind that mask and what is Nick Cannon wearing and what are the judges guessing and everything else in between. It's always a fun time here, and the party is just about to start. I am your host, Puya the Pocket Watch Zan Vakili, ready to break everything down. And as always, I'm never alone. I could never do this alone. I'm with my ride or die, with my partner in crime. It's Liana, the daddy, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Daddy's back.
It's daddy's home, and I hated it.
Daddy's home. Game changer. that's my intro. You know, Nick Cannon. Well, there's something comforting, I guess, about him being back in kind of a nostalgic way. But, you know, he's fine. It's fine. It's fine. He's home. Daddy's home. So,
yeah. So let's just talk about it right out of the gate. This was essentially the Nick Cannon homecoming episode with a little bit of, also the Masked Singer is happening. I would have been okay if they just brought him back in and we're picking up where we left off with Nick Cannon. It's like, okay, Nick Cannon's here. He's wearing his diamond shoes. That's cool. Oh, what suit is he wearing this time? But they really romanticized it as if like the show was missing something. And like, it felt to me a little bit, and I know they did not intend for this, and maybe not everyone else sees it this way. It felt like they were kind of slapping Niecy Nash in the face. Like, where was the respect for Niecy? Was she even mentioned today? No.
Yeah. Like a thank you for taking over my spot while I was gone. Yeah. I think something like that would have been added. I don't know. I didn't feel like it was so much the slap over the head. The Nicole serenading Ken serenading part did kind of make me chuckle a bit. So maybe it was not so bad.
So the Nicole, I was like, why are they doing this? And then Ken started singing. I was like, oh, this is why. This is exactly why they're doing this.
It's funny, though, because, I mean, he's actually a decent singer.
Ken?
And because he was on the original Masked Singer.
He was on the Korean Masked Singer.
Like the OG. And then that obviously spawned the whole series mask franchise. So he's obviously a good singer, but he's definitely singing in a way where it's very comical, and that was kind of funny. And you know, whatever, it's fine.
It was good comedy. But yeah, Nick Cannon's back.
Good comedy, but like it made me laugh, so that was fine.
Right, but we say good comedy because it doesn't take much to make you laugh.
That's true. I mean, I'm laughing now and I'm talking to you, so.
Yeah, I mean, I am very funny, so that is, you can't even debate that.
Yeah.
However, I've like been in conversations with you where you will laugh at talking about your day to me. Like with no, and you, it's not like you're making a joke out of it. You'll just say something and then laugh in the middle of it and it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, what am I laughing at?
Only you know. That's the beauty of it. Only you know.
Yeah, my life is funny in my head. Things amuse me. Okay, that are, because I feel like I've explained things to you that make me laugh, and you're just you just like have no concept. It's, you're just like, that's nice, Liana.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. If you're, so would you say that in your head your life is a sitcom?
Without the everything works out in the end, happy-go-luckiness, but yeah, otherwise, for sure.
Why?
Because sitcoms are artificial. They wrap up everything in these nice little packages that can be consumed in 23 minutes, and they don't actually tackle issues that are ongoing, really. You know what I mean? But anyway, whatever. Look, we're not here to discuss this. Let's talk about Singer.
But I'm very curious about this take, but we'll move on.
That like the whole like saccharine concept of sitcoms is that they are these feel good, self-contained stories that wrap up in a short period of time.
I only said it because you said your life is funny to you in your head.
Yeah.
So, and then you're doing this. Is your life a mockumentary? Because you're making a mockery out of what I just said.
I have lots of feelings and thoughts and opinions. Okay. If we get on a topic, I probably have an opinion about it.
This is fair.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways. Cool. Well, we've unpacked a lot of things here in one go. I don't know where we go from here.
No. Let me tell you something I have an opinion about. The Russian dolls. Boom, 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 boom. Nah, transition. So, done. Ha.
Can I rewind it real quick? So I was going to say, we've unpacked a bunch of things at the early going here. Let's unpack multiple dolls within each other, the Russian dolls. Now, audience, whichever transition you liked is up to you. I think even Liana knows which one was the better one. But Liana, take us away.
Yeah, it was mine, obviously. Of course. So I love this thing that they're still trying to make us feel like there's more Russian dolls than just the three by having that cardboard cutout or just sort of like empty costume in the back of the fourth one when they did the performance this week. There's just three of them. Like, I'm 99.999% convinced that there's only three of them here.
I thought there was a fourth one for about 15 seconds.
Yeah, same.
And then that thing didn't move. Same. And I was like, okay, that's not a thing. Can I give you my take, though?
Okay.
I like the bigger costume better. The little ones freak me out.
I like the big one with the little ones.
I like the
differences in sizing. I think that that's cute. It makes it feel really like they are truly Russian nesting dolls.
Yes.
The big one.
Yeah. What I don't like is that they don't have mouths. That's what I don't like.
You know, the other funny thing about them in this episode was them trying to do choreo. And I know we're like jumping all around here, but when they were doing the performance and they were trying to do choreo and they were just like stepping side to side and still the one on the left was off for a while, like stepping opposite the other two. It was so cute. But that's the extent of what they can do. They just move back and forth. And I don't remember if they were snapping or not. Were they snapping?
They have hands.
With their fingers?
They're not really snapping. No. Yeah. Also, it's very quintessential you where I'm like, okay, Liana, take it away. And you're like, so I'm going to start from like the last third of their performance.
Okay. Well, really, but that was like the most interesting thing to me. I don't want to bury the lead. It was the most interesting thing, you know, but if we must, we can go through the clue package as well. Okie dokie. So, a duo became a trio. I wrote that down. I don't actually remember what that means. But then their whole thing was all about like life on the road. Oh, it's not glamorous. We've performed everywhere from parking lots to baseball fields and even at a pizza shop, which then at the pizza shop, it was $1 pizza. I wrote down the address, but I don't know what it means. 288 8th Street. And then there was a picture of the snow owls, which I didn't bother to look if there's any connection between my top, you know, our top guest Hansen and the snow owls. I don't know if it's just a multiples reference. Like I could see it easily being like, oh yeah, it's the snow owls because they were the first multi-person costume.
I think that's what it is. I'm not putting much stock in anything else there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then there's the whole thing about them performing for the president. So we saw the shot of the Lincoln Memorial and then in the White House performing for the prez, bringing the house down.
So your guess, have they performed at the for the president? Do you know that or no?
Yes, they have.
Which one?
All of them.
If performed for all the presidents.
Oh, like which president? I don't remember, but I Googled it and it was like they've performed all the way from, you know, the Vegas to the White House or something like that.
Cool. Okay. Good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the performance goes, you've already talked about it and I co-sign. It was a fun way to start. Isn't this the third time they've started?
Okay, I was shocked that they were starting again. I don't know why. There could be something about their costume in particular that like they have to go first with logistics of getting three of them around or moving the costumes or the stage or something. Like maybe they have to have a certain, I don't know, but then why can't they just edit it in a different order? Honestly, no clue, but I know that as well.
Yeah, like I didn't know why they started with them again, but obviously, I said it the last time. I'll say it again. Great start to the show. Great opening to the show. I thought it was a fun. It was like a, you know, kids toy room motif, which makes sense with the little blocks and stuff. What did you think of the Rubik's Cube dancers?
Okay, so they were Rubik's Cubes, but they were turned, right? So they were like offset Rubik's Cube dancers. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I actually spent a bit trying to figure out what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's kind of a, Bop was famous in the 90s and Rubik's Cubes are in the 80s, I guess. So it's like nostalgic. Or they're toys. It's like a toy thing, right? Because they're in the kid room and toys. And, you know, we all know how kids love Rubik's Cubes. So yes. It just fits, right?
Exactly. It all fits. Uh-huh. No, I mean, I will maintain this. I still think that when all three of the Russian dolls are walking towards the camera, it is terrifying. But outside of that, their vocals are on point. I like their performance. It was fun. It was a Jason Derulo song, which I know you like. So,
Jason Derulo. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. I like that. I don't think I have anything else to really speak on from the performance. It was just a great way to open the show. And then Nick Cannon decides he's going to introduce us to the Nick Cannon.
Oh, yeah. So I guess this is part of the whole, like, we need to have a new clue each week. And yes. They wanted to make it Nick Cannon themed. So it's literally Nick Cannon themed.
Yep. And it's basically a glorified bedazzled t-shirt gun.
Yeah, I love that. I like that it's just a t-shirt cannon. And then I thought it was funny that the judges then were all trying to go for it.
Yeah, and
there's something about a t-shirt cannon. I don't care who you are. If you're in the audience of a sporting event and you're like, t-shirt cannon, you want the t-shirt in the t-shirt cannon, regardless of what it is. It's weird. Like, something takes over your body where you're just like, free stuff.
It makes me feel awkward because same thing with like when performers throw their guitar picks, because all I'm thinking is for that split second, no one has any regard for the person next to them. And they're just going to go for this by diving through people. And I don't like that because, like, you never know who you're going to hurt in the process. And like, what happens when you awkwardly, you and another person are holding a part of the t-shirt? Who decides who lets go? Like, at that point, I would like to not be the bigger person, but I also know that I probably can't help myself.
I mean, yeah, that's all part of t-shirt canon politics. There's like a whole pecking order. If it's a child, you got to give it to the child. Unfortunately, there's still some heteronormativity. So I don't make the rules. Unfortunately, there's still some heteronormativity associated with it. So I do feel like if it was a man and a woman, they would probably ultimately give it to the woman. So you may have to consider that as an option. But I feel like anybody should be able to fight for it. I think you fight for it or you cut it in half.
So, I mean, is that Nick Cannon canon, what you just said?
Yeah, it is. That's the second part of the Nick Cannon is the Nick Cannon canon.
Okay. Well, I mean, ultimately, if we were at a concert, which at that point I'd be like, damn, pandemic, that was like 5 years ago because I don't picture this being anytime soon. But that happened again, I would only jump vertically. I would not jump horizontally to get this. Couldn't be.
Ah, I see. Yeah. No, I think that's valid. I think you only have a certain amount of wiggle room for the side to side, you know, the horizontal. Right. Otherwise, it's mostly vertical. You're going for the jump. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a taller, heavier guy, so I don't want to like fling my body at people and like have anyone get hurt. I'd feel very self-conscious about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we got to get a child.
That's why.
Yeah, the child will acquire the t-shirt cannons for
the
us.
Child based on the child
is but a
vessel for free t-shirts.
I mean, okay, so one time I was at the, so Colorado has an indoor lacrosse league, the Mammoth, and my dad and I were at a game once and t-shirt cannon happened and we got free t-shirts. Again, I'm telling you, like the free t-shirt.
I've not seen this t-shirt.
Well, yeah, because it was so ugly. It was poor quality. It was extra large, like big old white t-shirt that had a giant Bud Light logo on the back. And it had a very small Mammoth logo on the front chest, like pocket region, you know, where logos go on t-shirts.
Right.
So I'm not going to walk around being a Bud Light ad, especially as I don't care remember how old I was, but I must have been in maybe middle school or high school at the time. Yeah. So, but yeah.
And Bud Light of all the beers. Bud Light.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, of course, that's the $13 beer that they sell at the stadium. So,
yeah, your dad would not approve of the Bud Light either, I feel like.
No. Except, again, it was like the only beer there. So, like, that's what he would drink when we were there.
Of course. I mean, if it's the only thing there, like when they say, oh, we only have Pepsi, no Coke, I'm not going to be like, I'm out. I'm gonna be like, yeah, OK. Like, I don't care. I want it. Yeah. OK.
Yeah. So
that's fair. All right. Well, look, we made a meal out of the Nick Cannon cannon, and that's the first of five performers that got a Nick Cannon cannon. But what was inside the Nick Cannon cannon? It was a shirt that said what goes around and then you turn it around, comes around.
I'm going to make you that t-shirt.
I don't want it. Why
would you? It was the best t-shirt. I don't know. That's what goes around, comes around.
I would rather get purr. What's this? Are you a purdy guy? I'm like, no, I'm Persian like a cat.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I thought that one, this one was the best because it had stuff on the front and the back, right? Because none of the other ones did, right?
Yes. I don't remember.
Let's see. So Robopine just said AKA, the seashell said Motown, and Orca said purr.
Are you a big, you like something saying like a t-shirt that has a back writing to it? Are you big on that?
I mean, I'm 30 years old now, so I don't have t-shirts with sayings on them. But if I were, yes, reveal is key.
You do have t-shirts that have sayings on them.
Explain. Which ones do I have?
I'm not going to do that to you. We'll move on.
It's because you don't know. Boom. Nailed you. Okay. So that sounds wrong. Okay. So
keep an eye on the RHAP Instagram account. I will be taking it over literally very soon. And I might expose Leon on this. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Yeah, you're gonna go through my t-shirts. That's weird.
Hey, that's content right there. It's like MTV Cribs, but we're going through.
No, it's like Room Raiders. Did you ever watch the show Room Raiders?
But Room Raiders was like, there was like, damn, there's a lot going wrong here. I don't think we have that, or you have that. So,
well, yeah, but the concept is whatever, not important.
It's more of a Room Raiders than a Cribs, sure. Yes.
Let me tell you, though, the one thing about the Russian doll's guesses that like pissed me off to no end. When Jenny said 98 degrees, I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
You're a dummy.
Nick Lachey. Yeah. What?
Dummy.
I don't get it. How? Like, in what universe? It's so funny. She was like, yeah, and Uranus was tilted at 98 degrees when there's 98 degree clues plastered all over the Piglet clue packages.
Like, who thinks of that? How often is anyone thinking about the 98 degrees of Uranus? What are you, 8 years old?
Yeah. Okay, well, hold on. Uranus.
That's not why they named themselves 98 degrees, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay, but Uranus's axis is tilted at 98 degrees.
Yes.
So, I mean, watch out for Uranus showing up in the Piglet's Clue package. Can't help.
You need me to move you out of the quicksand that you're in?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pentatonix was Nicole's guess. Stop. And the Jonas Brothers was Ken Jeong's, which is the most basic of the guesses. And I will say, Jenny McCarthy seems like she's fallen off on the guessing. I don't know. Yeah, she's had some wild ones this week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say
because was it Nick who compared her to Ken? Or was it Robin who compared her to Ken? Someone compared her to Ken in this episode, and I was like, that's right. Maybe Nicole? Whatever.
I think it was Nicole, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's tilt 98 degrees and go to Uranus, because this next performer was out of this world. That's right. Talking about the Robopine here. So are you going to be okay for this podcast?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just don't see Uranus again.
It was a great transition. I'm not going to apologize for the transition.
No. That was a winner. That was a winner for sure.
All right. I got 98 degrees. Okay. So the clue package.
98 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. That's where people like really don't know Kevin Bacon. It's much harder. Sorry.
Robo, you see what fine. I mean when she makes herself laugh there? Like, she just set herself up, said it, and then she's the only one laughing. It's quintessential Liana right there. Vintage Boris. All right, we move.
Oh, man.
don't pat yourself on the back, please. So, the RoboPines clue package was kind of it had that Indiana Jones style, like relic-y motif to it. So that's a thing. But then all of the verbal clues, mission to get to the end, they're known for their missions, quest for the golden relic, which I think definitely is a nod for getting awards and stuff. Action-packed, fast-paced drive, the MM to MW, so the M letters MM, which then the one of the M's turned into a W, Jones in for that idol, and then the traveling call from the ref. I feel relatively confident in the guess I had made before, and I'm going to double down on it, that I do think that the phrase action-packed, fast-paced drive is a nod to Fast and the Furious. Traveling,
it has to be, right?
Yeah, like this was like that was a blatant like, this is where I want you to look. So,
well, and it felt like the word choice was so specific.
Yeah, like nowhere else are you saying action-packed, fast-paced, and like no one's thinking of speed or Need for Speed. You're thinking of Fast and Furious. So there you go. I think this is
wait. Tyrese. So what's the MW, the MMMW thing?
So there was the letters M and M, and then one of the M's turned to MW. So I don't know what that means. To him. What I do know is that is a thing that happens. I'm sure someone else would have probably seen it or noticed it and knows why exactly. That is not me. Because I had a feeling it was him. I've listened to music since the first performance that I think it was him. And the clues that worked for me were the traveling call and the fast paced action drive. So that's boom and boom there. Don't know what the MMMW is. The Marlon Wayans guest from Jenny was another one that was like, stop it, please. I think, and the quest for the golden relic again makes sense for winning awards. But also, I would argue many people are on the quest for the golden relic. Like, everyone, who's not going to be on the quest for a golden relic if they can, right?
Right.
And then here comes the performance. And the performance is looking good. So the RoboPint comes out. There's this like 80s neon intergalactic motif. The voice of the RoboPint is one of my favorites in the season. What I didn't understand was the weird box dancers with tutus. What was that supposed to be?
I don't know, because it felt very Tron, right? They're kind of going for this 80. I don't know. Like, it felt very 80s to me, especially with the ceiling. I thought that the grid ceiling was pretty cool. And that's something that we know that they've animated in afterwards. And so then, the like golden head box things, but why did they have tutus, you know, that didn't necessarily thematically match? But it did feel a little bit like, okay, so this week we're gonna reach into our grab bag. The backup dancers for the RoboPine will be wearing ruffle, 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 square heads. All right. And then they're gonna be on their bodies wearing tutus, you know, like that was very much how it felt.
Yeah. I didn't get it, but it's okay. It's fine. Because I thought the performance survived and was completely fine without it. So
yeah, the big old lips were weird. But the actual performance of the RoboPine, obviously super solid. I think that the song choice is also really great. And his like little dancing thing that he did, the little steppity step. Look at him go.
Yeah, I just think that RoboPine has great stage presence, and puts on a bit of a show. It's not like the best dancing. It's not the best razzle dazzle we've seen, but it's enough to keep the RoboPine in the conversation for being an all rounder and not just a voice or not just a razzle dazzle. It's a good, healthy balance with more of a lean to the vocals, which I think have been great so far.
Like, he doesn't just stand there.
Yeah, it's like a cheeky little electric slide, you know, some cheeky little movement. Nothing, not all that much.
It's electric.
There you go.
Do, 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 do. Look at him go.
I will say what I do like from Nick coming back is I've always enjoyed him dancing with the Men in Black during the performances. It's like, because he's clearly enjoying himself, and I like that from the host. And I'm not saying Niecy didn't, but I'm saying that that is something that they focus in on with Nick, and I do enjoy that. And I think he does it better than Craig did for The Masked Dancer.
Yeah, Craig was very awkward in those particular
situations. Bless Craig.
Good bless.
Yeah. Okay. So then we go to the judges' guesses and comments. Did anything stick out to you here, or anything you want to really put words on?
Well, obviously Jamie Foxx, because there's only one black male singer apparently that has soul that we're gonna guess. That's fine. Jar.
Put it in the jar.
The other thing that I liked was, I think it must have been Ken calling the Robopine Mr. Pine. when he like started going after him or whatever during the judges guessing, that was pretty funny. I like the concept of, because we had this big discussion of like, is it egg or is it the egg? Like, is it Robopine or is it the Robopine? Mm-hmm. And I think the way to go about that is just to, you know, formalize the process. It's Mr. Robopine to you.
Mr. Robopine. Okay.
No, you don't like it?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
You think Robopine's got a doctorate? It's Dr. Pine to you.
Dr. Pine. Yeah. It's a lot.
Esquire. A
lot. Okay, not Esquire.
DDS.
I like Terrence Howard as a guest not for the Robopine, but for future appearance. I think Terrence Howard would be a great get.
Oh, yeah, like in general? Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Uranus. Okay, sorry.
Why? You said don't say it, and then you randomly...
I can't help it. It popped into my head.
Like, it was like, there was no segue. There was no... I wasn't even talking, and you just blurt, Uranus! Like, what is that?
I don't know. Just keep moving. All right, we just gotta keep me on track. All right, Cloodle Doo's up next.
So the Cloodle Doo comes through and says, "If you paid attention inside the Robopine's eyes, you would see an extra clue." And then goes through and looks at every single artist or every single judge, and says what clue was there. So looked into Robin Thicke's eyes, hopeless romantic. Looks into Jenny McCarthy's eyes, loves to talk. Looks into Ken Jeong, Uranus. Looks into...
98 degrees, baby. Get that tilt going.
No, looks into Ken Jeong, and we've both changed. And then looked into Nicole and said, friends with benefit.
Said, bussy on fire. Okay, so... not important. So, we've both changed. Okay. Immediately, I was like, well, Ken went from being an MD to an actor. So it's someone who changed careers. And if you think it's Tyrese Gibson, went from essentially being a musician to moving on to an acting career. So I think that totally fits.
Yes. I think that the loves to talk, I think Tyrese, you would know, is one that loves to talk as far as the Tyrese goes in like the Fast and Furious franchise. So this is an easy decision in my
opinion. The friends with benefits one, I wasn't I don't know if you can connect that one.
Yeah, I think that the friends with benefit one, unless they have had an entanglement, I don't know what else that could mean, because I don't know of any connections Nicole has with Tyrese on music, potentially, which I don't think so. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, you say interesting. I say interesting. We both say interesting. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Where do you want to go next? You take
all right.
Over.
So let's go on under the sea, to the seashell. So the seashell this week for their clue package talks about walking in a variety of shoes. I think that probably means that they've done a lot in their career. Then there was the shot of the wedding cake, which I loved Ken saying, oh, she's married or she's a baker. Like, those are the only two options when we see a wedding cake. And then there was the whole thing about being called a trailblazer. And, you know, getting asked to sign autographs or whatever at different places. And then when I was younger, shells like me didn't get a lot of opportunities, which I thought was pretty interesting. And and then the whole superhero thing, which I thought was really interesting, and then taking strength supplements. Part of me, when I see that type of detail in a clue package, I'm like, all right, so this is someone who played a superhero. Or that's just window dressing. There's nothing to do with superheroes. And it's all about just her strength within her field or something like that. Or like being a superhero within her field.
An inspiration, a role model even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could,
you could
that.
Say that. Yeah.
Yeah, because like I looked at the clue, like it literally felt like last second. They're like, oh, and also superhero stuff. I was like, I'm not buying it. I'm not looking into that.
See, like, but that, so that's the interesting thing, because it wasn't the whole clue package, mm-hmm. right? So even though the the RoboPines clue package, for example, was all about the whole theme.
Top
was,
to bottom was Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple, obviously. Whereas hers was not all superhero, which makes me feel, oh, maybe this is, she like played a superhero in a movie or a TV show or something like that.
Well, then there were the strength supplements. I don't know.
Big whey powder kind of gal.
Well done. I've mentioned this before. I'll say it again. Seashell's probably my biggest blind spot of the season. I don't know who this is. I don't really even have a good short list for you. So it's interesting. You said shells like her weren't given an opportunity. I wrote shows. So I misheard you misheard. But either way, I think that's something worth thinking about. What kind of shows might have been limited, or what kind of shells were limited? Is this like a diversity issue, like a representation issue, potentially? Yeah,
that's my guess.
Okay. Can't wait for everyone to see what she has in store, but that doesn't say anything. The wedding cake is the next big thing, right? That's like the next big clue here that I feel like has something for us.
Yeah, but it could be as simple as she's married, which
doesn't help.
That doesn't really help me.
What if like she's on like not, I don't think it's married with children, the show. What if it's a show that has like the word married or wedding in it? Do you think that's something that could be?
Yeah, that's possible. Like it's related somehow. Yeah,
or cake or bride or rose. Like one of those words are in the show name. Or some.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know. And then real quick, the Nick Cannon shot out a t-shirt that said Motown on it. So.
man, you know, we'll talk about this when we talk about the wild card this week. But I do feel like it's so hard to put these clues together until I have my aha moment. It's just, there's so many things that can be interpreted in so many different ways, which is why I feel like something like the wedding cake is almost used more as a validation versus like exclusion criteria. So, you know, you're not going to be like, okay, so we're going to rule out everybody who's not married. And it's like, okay, well, that leaves a very large group of people, right? It's so hard to narrow it down. But if you have somebody, I think it's this person. Oh, and they're married. Oh, okay, it fits, right? Because I really don't know where to go with the seashell. I just don't. She hasn't clicked for me, and I don't know when that's going to happen. I think she's a fabulous performer, so she'll be in the competition for a while. So maybe we'll have some opportunities to figure it out.
Same. I think that ultimately for me, I don't mind that I don't know who the seashell is, because I feel very good about a lot of the other guesses we've had on the season so far. So I'm like excited to try and figure out who the seashell is. And if it's someone I do not know, I'm happy, because it's someone I'm being introduced to who I think is a very good artist. I did love the performance of Tell Me Something Good by Rufus. I love the background, the clam, the dancers, the pearls in the clam, the vibes. Like, it was just all great. It was a great performance. Like, we got to this performer and I genuinely thought, okay, so either the wild card sucks and they go out immediately, or the Orca's leaving. I thought there's no way any of the first three were going to be leaving after this performance. Yeah. And my theory was that because it's the last wild card, it was going to be the best one so far. So I kind of felt Orca's time is over the minute the seashell gave us this performance.
We kind of felt that the Orca's time was going to be over when we heard him perform last week. So I don't know if that really.
Who did the Orca bump off the group A?
The raccoon.
Yeah, that's not a hard feat. I could have upset the raccoon.
I know, same. So yeah.
You have an amazing voice. You could probably uproot the seashell.
Try on my something good.
No, see? No, you're Liana's being modest. She's a very good singer. No. Thank you. She is.
Uranus. Okay. All right, so Orca.
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 Having a whale of a time over here on the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast, aren't we?
Whale, whale, whale. What do we have here? The clue. The clue package.
Quick. What was that song by AWOL Nation? Whale. Go on.
Oh my God. Have you seen that video of the cat where the cat jumps? On the sail.
And
just like, could it completely eat it? You think they're gonna jump? Yeah. Oh,
have
man,
you
so
seen
funny.
the vine of this kid playing the beginning, the intro to that song, the build up on the piano, and then their brother who's filming yells out sail and just smacks the keyboard onto the ground? So good.
No, that's hilarious. I'm gonna go watch that. Oh, memes. Am I right? Okay.
Uranus.
So, all right. So, the whole clue package for the Orca was all about him channeling his hero, who was his father. So we always look up to his dad. And then we got this really sweet story, but also sad story about how the Orca's dad was excited for the Orca to become a father, and so the Orca's dad, like, even though health was declining, stayed awake through the child. The Orca's dad's grandchild, the Orca's kid's baptism. Anyway, so that was kind of like the whole narrative of the whole thing. There were a few other things that I noted. So there were two children, like a green child and a pink child. There was a $3 sign on the board, and then Swedish fish, which immediately I was like, oh, Sugar Ray, because they're sugar sweets and they're fish and Ray, Sugar Ray. I don't know. It made sense in my brain.
I mean, that,
okay, Swedish
I thought
fish
that
or
is
candy,
good. That's good enough.
Sugar.
Go on.
Sugar, like candy. Okay. Swedish fish. They're candy fish. Fish, whales, ray all comes together like a ray, like a manta ray. So Swedish fish, sugar ray. Boom. Nailed it.
Have a square peg. I have a circle hole. Shove the clue into it and make it
make
sense.
Oh my God. Speaking of memes, have you seen, I can't remember where I saw it in the first place, but it was like a developer. It was stitched with another video and it was, okay, where does the circle go? That's right. Or it was like, where does the square go? In the square hole. And the developer's like, yeah. And I was like, where does the rectangle go? In the rectangle hole. In the square hole. And then they put everything through the square hole. Well, whatever. Anyway, it's very complicated. It's not that complicated. I'll send it to you.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. This was a very touching clue package. It really was. It made me feel bad for thinking the Orca is going. Because,
I know.
Well, now I don't want you to leave now. Like, I'm sad.
Yeah, I know. That was tough.
Yeah. And so then the performance happens and everything about it looks great. The Orca doesn't sound bad at all.
Yeah.
The dancers are like weird lobster crop top type dancer things. I couldn't tell what the dancers were. Really? Exactly. Because they had like pink hair, but then they had like lobstery top body. I don't know.
Okay, I can pull them up in the performance right now, but I will tell you, my notes say IDK what those backup dancers are, ? So obviously I couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah. So either way, they did a good production. Like the stage looked phenomenal for this performance. I really also like the Orca costume. I don't know if I'm the only one. I like the top hat, like I like the head of the Orca. The rest of the costume looks very much like just spandex suit that's bedazzled.
But it looks so cheap. I said this when they first came out. It looks so cheap. And, yeah. And then to have the freaking Yeti come out looking dope, I was like, how is that fair? Anyway, whatever. They invested in the people that they think will go far, I suppose.
I mean, we could look at it that way. But then I would say, Piglet, what are you doing? Are you going to make a flop, Piglet?
True.
And then, go ahead.
I just was going to say about the performance that this song was better than the first performance, which I do feel like it was kind of on the edge for me that it, in a different season with different competitors, I think that the Orca could have made it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. It definitely picked up and it got better as it went along.
Yeah, I thought it did its job. I thought it was a good one. It was a pretty decent performance. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Plus, it was Every Rose Has Its Thorn, which we know Brett Michaels was on the previous season as a banana, and then we get the Poison song. So, full circle. Wow.
And Square Peg. Okay. So, that's it for the four performers that were originally in Group A. Oh, real quick. Yeah, Jenny McCarthy guessed Jeremy Renner for the Orca, which is ridiculous.
Oh, but like what?
Yeah, and the purr t-shirt was because the Orca's got a heart, but also likes to purdy.
Yeah, baby.
But no, I don't want to bury the lead here. I want to go directly and talk about the Yeti. The Yeti.
Yeti.
Were you ready for the Yeti?
I was not ready for the Yeti. The Yeti, I didn't know what I expected in terms of the last wildcard performance. I think I was so thrown for a loop, but just with the whole Nick Cannon thing of it all, what if it's another meme? But we got a true competitor here with the Yeti, which I think really begs the question of, let's talk about the Yeti, and then I want to talk about the concept of the Yeti and the concept of wildcards.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Oh, well, okay, we can talk about the concept. Okay, all right. So, do you think that the Yeti is good?
I think the Yeti is straight up a front runner.
Okay, yes. So I had a similar response to the Yeti. So let me give you my two perspectives. My first perspective is within the context of enjoying and being entertained by the show. I like the wild cards because which I was down on, but I've been surprised about how much I've been enjoying them. It's nice for someone to come in and spice it up instead of doing sort of the different groups. We're not subjected to so many performances, especially ones like, that might be okay. It drags out the season. Anyway, overall, I enjoy the concept of the wild cards. But in terms of crowning the winner, it seems unfair to have someone who's really good and potentially a front runner come in and not have to put in as many performances as the other competitors.
I mean, so here's the thing for me. I thought that ultimately the wildcard concept is successful because we're six episodes in and we still met someone new, but now we're not meeting anyone new and we're at the final eight. So I'm okay with it. I think that as far as it goes, I like that there was a balance of, well, the just because you came in late didn't mean you were guaranteed a pass to the final eight. And I would argue that the Yeti is someone who would have just survived all three performances anyways. So I thought it was good. It allowed them to showcase some of the weaker people that they still signed on anyways, while still having some competitors in the first two. Like, I wouldn't see it as much of a bye week, considering that it was more of a gift to the ones that we knew were not going to ever make it that far.
Okay, so I understand that, but for me, when crowning the winner, you know what? To be honest, I'm not voting. But I like to look at the full body of work that a performer has put out. And I think being able to demonstrate versatility is something that's so crucial. So if you only have to give three performances to someone else who has to give six or seven, and you're like, well, you know, these person's three performances were really good, but this other person did seven and was able to show more versatility, or maybe they didn't, like maybe they didn't show more versatility. Well, if the person who only gave three had to give, you know, a few more, maybe I would like also feel like, well, they don't have much versatility to them. They're just doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Right. It's interesting because I definitely did not think at the start of the season that I was going to like this concept.
Yeah.
And same. Here I am being like, no, this was good. This was, you tried something this time and it was a good call. It was not bad. And I, if you did it again, I wouldn't be complaining about it.
I want to see how it plays out. And then I will make my final judgment call.
I just hope that they keep it the way they did here. We also got to think about it, though, Leon, is that they did the wild card and this kind of permitted them to have a Nick Cannon reveal. It permitted them to have a Kermit the Frog unmasking. So maybe I don't like it from that perspective. If it ends up being a situation where, okay, we're literally going to do gimmicky stuff. Some of it could be funny, but then it could get played out too quickly. So maybe that's the case. Because let's argue, if there wasn't a wild card, would they cut the Yeti? No, I don't think so. Would they then cut the Nick Cannon bit? Probably.
No. Well, I guess. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it just gives them extra time to do stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So then, okay. So let's talk about this Yeti, because I think I have a decent idea on who the Yeti here.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk me through it.
Okay. So the Yeti comes in this cage, right? And immediately I want you to note these things I'm about to say. So the Yeti's brought out and Robin immediately says, oh, not as tall as I thought it would be. Okay. The Yeti says that they come out only for a mammoth reason. Watch your step. They're holding these like wooden type things. They had warrior women to show them the way. Okay. And they had them as motivators. And here's the thing. So this next part is important. So the Yeti's making a sandwich and there's jam in the sandwich and there's berries in the sandwich. So like, I think there was like blueberries and blackberries. And raspberries, like there's just a bunch of berries, okay, and jam, okay, in toast. And then there's like they're holding one of the women in the clue package are wearing a love heart, a heart, right? Like a cut out heart.
Yeah.
Yes, the paper heart. And so all this happens and I'm like, I think I have a vibe on the clue, but I don't know until I hear the person sing. Then 20 seconds went into the performance. The Yeti sang and did a little bit of dancing, and I knew exactly who it was. And then I was able to put some of the clues together. Here's the thing, okay? So you don't know this about me, Liana. I went through a phase where I watched the movie You Got Served more times than any man should.
Okay.
We're talking like over 30 times. I love this movie. I don't think if I watch it, I like the dance sequences, basically. If I watch it, it wasn't for the plot. However, that movie featured a boy band heavily, or a band heavily. And the Yeti comes out in this ice cage box thing, right? Ice box. Okay. There's a sandwich that's got jam and berry in it. Okay. Jam berry. One man by the name of Omarion, also his actual name, Omari Grandberry.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Comes out in an icebox. Icebox. Song by Omarion.
Yeah.
Can dance. I've watched You Got Served. I can vouch. Can dance. And is not that tall. So the note of, oh, not as tall as I thought, worth it. Because the Yeti, I think if we're not there, it seems like a bigger, like a large costume. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Put all that together. I'm pretty sure this is Omarion. And that's why I think it's a front runner, because Omarion has everything. Omarion has an amazing voice. Omarion has dance moves. Omarion has razzle dazzle. Omarion's got choreography, and Omarion's been a part of a little like boy B2K. He is a part of the R&B boy band B2K. So he kind of has all the makings to go the distance here.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Let me give you the audience what happened, because Puya, you're involved in the story. So as soon as the clues started coming out, I was like, oh, these are like interesting, very specific. And then the song started and I was like, oh God, Puya's going to know exactly who this is. Because my short list was like, okay, it's an Usher, Genuine, Chris Brown, Mario, Ray J type. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? I could go through and I can try to narrow it down, or I'll just ask Puya, hey, I think you're gonna know who this is when you watch this.
And then I watched it and I messaged Liana mid-prom. I was like, yeah, I know who this is.
Yeah. All right, I'm not gonna bother doing any research. You'll just break it down for me.
I was like, yeah, I have a good feeling I know who this is. And this is where you compare the Robo Pine to the Yeti, in that, and specifically with regards to the fact that I talked about the Robopine not having a lot of razzle dazzle, the Yeti's gonna have a lot of razzle dazzle. And I think the Yeti's going to kill it this season. Like, I'm happy. You know how happy I am that the Yeti comes in now, Liana, and not like 2 weeks ago? Because then we would have had the Armageddon of, well, someone's gonna have to leave before the Super 8, and it's gonna be one of the good ones. I didn't want that. So I'm happy that we don't have to take anyone else out of Group A and we go directly to to the Super 8.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that we have going into the Super 8 are solid, right? So we're going to have the Yeti, the Seashell, the Robopine, and the Russian Dolls from this group. And I'm happy with that because I do feel like a lot of these performers are all on the same page. Or not the same page, the same level.
Level, yes.
There's variation week to week, but it feels a little bit like a crapshoot. It's going to depend on song choice. It's really, really close in terms of who I think ultimately is going to take the win.
Other seasons, I feel like I'm looking at the list. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's because we have eight. Right. Like, I feel like in other seasons, it's been like, it's a toss up between these three or these four. I really do feel like anyone, I mean, I don't know. It depends. It's up to you whether or not you think the chameleon could ultimately take it. Because I feel like maybe, okay, that's maybe not the crab. I don't know.
The chameleon does not have the razzle dazzle that the frog did, but is doing the frog kind of trajectory with the leaning on feel good rap music. And like nostalgic rap. So I love the chameleon personally, because that is my jam. That kind of music, I'm all about it. However, I would argue that the chameleon probably has the hardest road to get to the end, but it's not impossible on the night. Pick the good song, have good banter, whatever, you could good survive. Bands.
Yeah.
Gotta have a good bands. So yeah, I mean, this is, I would argue, probably the strongest final eight we've had ever, potentially.
Yeah.
I'm saying this having not thought about it further. If I look back, I might change my mind. But I, at the moment, I'm feeling relatively decent about that assessment.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think that's a fair assessment. So as far as the judges go on the
oh Lord, do we have to talk about the Justin Bieber?
So first of all, we got to talk about the Ice Baby Cooler Vault guesses. I thought that was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame it was just for one person and not an episode long one. That would have been funny.
Well, it was Yeti specific, right?
So it was Yeti specific. Yeti spaghetti. Yeah. So there was Justin Bieber and then someone called Taryn Killam, which I immediately thought about our very own Taryn and Among Us. So that's what I've got for you.
Call me Taryn Killam.
Oh, I know who Taryn Killam is.
SNL, and also I kill Taryn. No.
Yeah, so I know who Taryn Killam is now.
You know who he is.
Yeah. I didn't know Taryn by name. Okay, all right. And yeah, so I mean, I didn't think they were anywhere close, and I'm glad they didn't get anywhere close. That just kind of, to me, speaks to the longevity of this performer. So I think we're going to be safe. We're going to be safe.
Yeah. No, I agree as well. I think that the Yeti of all the wild cards might be the strongest here, or I think also has the highest upside, because if it's truly Bobby Brown, man, I just are they going to really crown Bobby Brown? You know what I mean? But I could see Omarion getting the crown. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. As far as
we'll figure it out. We don't figure out nothing.
I mean, we'll figure it out on how people get far. We'll have to figure that out. Yeah.
True.
We had two Dave Grohl vault guesses, one Billy Joel Armstrong, one Jon Bon Jovi. And Jenny McCarthy switched hers to Callie Slater, who I believe is a surfer, question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Does she know anything else about him that linked, or was this just Kelly Slater? Sorry, not Callie, Kelly.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, Jenny's on one this season, and I hated the golden ear thing she wore. I did not like that at all. It looked weird.
Yeah, they were very large.
Yeah, they definitely have gone full props this season over other seasons. So the thing to note,
it's game changing.
Yeah, if I don't hear the phrase game changing after this season, I'll be okay. Genuinely.
I mean, I heard my full amount of game changers after game changers the Survivor season. So,
yeah,
you know.
So, yeah, Mark McGrath is unmasked, and we already knew this was going to happen. We were in the know. And what did you think about this unmasking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we had talked about who was going to be under the mask. And yeah, he's doing it for his kids. It's Mark McGrath. Wow. You know what? The interesting thing was is that there was no, last second reveal guess of Mark McGrath, which I kind of appreciated. It felt more genuine that they hadn't figured it out.
They hadn't figured out Mark McGrath, you mean?
Yeah, like right at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that is not surprising to me. Or do you think it's surprising that they didn't?
I guess maybe I'm just so used to, they got a correct guess throughout the episode. Oh, well, this person's going. Mm-hmm. And then even if that doesn't happen, then at the end, for some reason, there's one of them will be like, you know what? No, I am going to change my guess. I've been thinking about it and I put together the clues and I think it's Sugar Ray, Swedish Fish. Obviously, got to go Mark McGrath here. Obviously, we've been new.
So I feel like the clues didn't end up being too obvious for them ultimately. So, for example,
it was the first week. The second week was just confirmatory to me. But the first week, I think
the first week was more of a giveaway for sure. So one of the things written here on the reveal on the screen, the fly swatter in Orca's package is a clue to Sugar Ray's hit song Fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that is a vague one. I did one of our listeners pointed one out to me today, which I really did appreciate. Mm-hmm. There is a scene in the clue package where there's a hawk carrying like the orca or whatever. And this is in reference to, and they found this on Mark McGrath's wiki. This is a reference to Ethan Hawke and the fact that they looked very similar and people kept confusing the two of them. So they both started. They both started signing stuff. Under each other's names,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that on the internet at one point in time.
Yeah.
I actually completely forgot about that. That's so funny. That's actually really clever. I like that.
Yeah. I really like that clue. I was like, okay, this is a very sick clue. And obviously that's not the one they put on the screen. They put the fly swatter one on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's because there's a song called Fly.
Get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Sugar, how you get so fly. All right.
They should have done the 1459 one. That was a good one.
That was a great clue. Yes, that was a very good clue. Yeah. All right. So we come to the end of the episode. Here's what to expect moving forward with The Masked Singer. All right. So the next two episodes of The Masked Singer, next week, we're going to have Super 8, episode title Super 8- The Plot Chickens.
That's Cloodle Doo.
That's Cloodle Doo. So I don't know how Cloodle Doo is going to get involved, but Cloodle Doo will get involved. Okay.
Oh.
Then the week after, April 28th, will be the sing along, the Masky Awards.
Yes. Oh boy.
Yep. So that's happening, which you know what that means for this podcast. The sing along is kind of our semi-annual AMA at this point. So if you have any questions about this season older seasons, about Liana, about myself, like questions about our lives. That's all fair game. Make sure you get those in for that episode, but that's 2 weeks from now. We're going to go through the Super 8 next week, and we're going to have a lot of feelings about it.
I'm excited to have feelings.
I mean, I'm going to have feelings right now because we're at the Super 8, Liana, and that means one thing more than anything else. Now that we've seen all of the performers, now that we've met all the wild cards and the ones that have stayed have stayed, it's time to do our draft for the season.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
Well, you won last season handily. I got whooped. You had the winner. I'm pretty sure you had the top three or four, yeah, right?
No, I had the top four.
Remind me again who you had.
Okay, so I had the mushroom, obviously.
Yes.
I had the
I had the crocodile. I had the crocodile. So no, oh, okay. You had the top four for the Mass Dancer. Mass Dancer.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but yeah. I had the sun and I had the mushroom also, right? I had
you
both
had
of
the
them.
Sun, you had the mushroom, you had the jellyfish. No, I had the jellyfish. You had the seahorse.
Yeah, I had the sea. Oh, yeah, I had the seahorse. So, okay.
We each had three in the final six, but one of mine made it to the final three, which, again, that was the worst way to organize
that. And came
that.
In third.
Yeah, which was a surprise one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Enough. Keep me while I'm down. Saying.
Can we talk about Masked Dancer now? The top four.
No, that's over. No one saw Masked. You won. You had the final four. We move on. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. For years and years, I've beat Liana in every draft we do, and now she's got me against the wall and winning handily.
Yeah. Let's go me. Okay, so wait, so because I won the last draft, does that mean that you get the first pick, or do you get to pick the order? And are we doing a snake draft, or are we just going back and forth?
I mean, these are great questions we're going to answer live on air. So I think that we went with the strategy of having it be like, for Masked Dancer, we just did 1-1-1-1-1, and that was because there was obviously a stronger top half. Here I'm willing to say that this is relative. I feel like I know who the bottom two are going to be, but then the other six could go any which direction, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you feel? Do you want it to be a one, like, snake draft of like, okay, I get, like, you get one, I get two and three, then you get four and five? Or I feel more like I would like it to be one back and forth.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And then okay. Do you want to go first? That's the question.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm all over the place. It's so difficult for me to, if I were to tier them, for example, like, yeah, I really don't know where I would go.
I'm literally going to pick the ones I like. That's because ultimately I can't pick who's going to win. I'm just going to end up picking the ones that I'm already like rooting for, and we'll go from there, really.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So let's go back.
I'll go
and
first.
Forth. Yeah, you go first.
All right, I'm picking the Yeti. Now I have to pick the Yeti. The Yeti came out of nowhere and stole my icebox. So I want the Yeti on my team.
Yeah. Yeti is a solid pick, I think, for sure.
You know what? You're not Yeti for this, Liana.
You're not Yeti for this. No, 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 no. Get Yeti with me. Okay. So.
What? Move on. Make your pick.
Okay, so the thing is that I think I know who you're going to pick, but I'm not going to try to steal anything from you. I'm going to go Black Swan, my girl JoJo, I think. I'm hoping.
I'm hoping, wishfully.
please let me have gotten this right. I think she's a super solid pick. I think she's someone who's going to be there until the end. I do think that there is something to say about the gender imbalance of the winners. Which we're now even, right? So we're 2-2, but I don't think that that's necessarily a detriment to the Black Swan. I think it's an even playing field, and I feel good about her.
I feel very good about her as well. She was actually going to be my pick should you have taken the person I think you thought I was going to take.
Robopine
and Black Swan were even for me. I would have had a tough time picking, and I knew I was going to pick whichever one you don't pick. So give me the Robopine, which I think I would have probably, like, if Yeti was not in the equation, I think they would have been my top two, but then Yeti came in. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So yeah, let me take Robopine off the board. That first performance is still stuck in my head. I love that performance so much. And like, they're my top three. Yeti, Robopine, and Black Zone, those are, that's who I want to be the final three, ultimately.
Yeah.
I like them personally the most.
I see that. I see that for sure. All right. I'm going to take a little bit, of a risk here with the Russian Dolls. I think that while they lack in the razzle dazzle, as we saw in this week's episode, with the fact that one of them couldn't keep up with the other two and they're like swaying out of sync. It was so fun. That's one of those moments where my life is a sitcom. Like, I'm laughing to myself so hard. I don't know why I think this is so funny. Anyway, whatever. I think that what they lack in sort of that element of the razzle dazzle, I think they can make up for in the fact that there's three of them. Do I think they're going to win? I don't know. Probably not. But I really, you know, I'm excited to root for them. And I'm going to go with the Russian Nesting Dolls.
It's a little bit of a gimmick, right? There's been gimmicks with literally the Snow Owls. There's been gimmicks with Kermit. There's been gimmicks with, like, they've had costumes that are literally like the baby alien. So they've fallen to the gimmick side, but I would argue this is the first time where one of the gimmick performers has a shot. Now, are they going to be able to lift the crown? I don't think so, but I think that they have a very decent chance and they're going to be fun to see along the way. So that's a decent choice here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my issue here is like, do I really feel that I'm picking a winner? No, but I feel like I'm picking a strong competitor and I'm almost willing to take the risk. Let's just see. Who knows? Maybe they're really going to go for the gimmick this year. Crown all three of them. Who cares? I doubt it, but maybe.
So I'm looking at this remaining four. And I think that she came out of her shell this week. And I reckon she's going to come out of her shell more the following week. I think there's a lot more to see here. I'm going to pick the seashell here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick the seashell because, first of all, I don't know who the seashell is. And that excites me. I'm excited to see who the seashell is and maybe figure out who the seashell is. But out of the eight, I feel like the least known for me is the seashell. But I also like that. I like that. And also, I know that probably when we look at the list and you're assessing people, it was between the seashell and the piglet. I'm not picking the piglet. Like, that's not happening. So
why?
Because I don't like that costume. I would rather lose than have that costume on my team.
Okay.
I would literally rather lose.
So I was convinced that you were going to pick the piglet and then I was going to pick the seashell. But that's so funny. Just that costume is too terrifying. I can't have it on my team. I'm sorry. I just can't.
It's like the weird, like the pig face they had for Big Brother, the OTEP competition. But like if it was younger and was going to school, I'm like, I don't want that.
It is pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that being said, I am going to pick the piglet here, though, just FYI.
Well, I low key thought maybe I could joke about it and you wouldn't pick it and then I'd get it as like a steal in four. But that's fine. I'm very OK with not having them on my team.
It's funny because I actually don't. I don't know if the piglet can win either. Mm-hmm. Now that we're talking about it, the Robopine and the Black Swan to me are the top two. And then once we see what the Yeti can do, I want to see more than one performance. And that's also going to be interesting, like I said, to see where someone who's a wild card performer comes in and then see whether or not they're able to be competitive enough to take the crown. I think they're talented enough to do so. Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not based on sort of the amount of performances, whether or not that becomes a help or a hindrance here. But yeah, no, I'm happy to pick Piglet. I think that leaves what, Crab and Chameleon is the last two.
Crab and Chameleon. Yeah, that's right. So I mentioned this. I'm sticking with it. I'm picking the ones I want. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think that there is a 99% chance the Chameleon's the next one out? Yes. Highly. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I want Chameleon on my team. I want that razzle dazzle. Give me that nostalgic music. I want to watch Wednesday night and be like, oh my God, I remember that song. I want that. And Chameleon's going to give me that guarantee. So thank you very much, Chameleon. You complete my team and I'm very happy to have you on the squad.
All right. So then that leaves me with the Crab, which, man, I just, I don't know why there's something about the fact that if it's Bobby Brown, I'm just having a hard time processing this fact, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the performances. I think the tone of the crab is really fun. I really love the texture of the voice. And the Black Swan really is, I think, the one who is going to take it for me if I end up getting the win here, because I don't necessarily know if I would slot the crab in as the winner. I think it's a tough sand hill to climb for the crab.
If you win the draft with the crab, that's just disrespect to my team at that point. That's just rubbing salt in my wounds. Like, literally, all these picks and the last pick in the draft is what ends up winning the whole thing. And it's the crab of all performers.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Could you imagine?
That would be entirely, entirely too much to handle.
I mean, who knows? What a fun adventure that would be. What a season.
Yeah, it could be a fun time. But here's the thing. That wraps up the draft here. So let's quickly look at who we've got and what is going on here. So I, on my team, have the Yeti, Robopine, the Seashell, and the Chameleon. And Liana, on her team, has the Black Swan, the Russian Dolls, the Piglet, and the Crab.
Man, not a lot of women.
No, two. There's two out of eight. It's insane. Insane.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let me see. What about the total? We had a bunch of women eliminated early.
We did.
Oh, my God. We only had three total women on the season.
What?
Yeah, because it's the two. So it's Seashell and Black Swan and then Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, my God.
I mean, a little imbalanced, if you don't mind me.
A little? So. Literally, we were two Muppets away from tying it up.
Wait. And Hansen, three dudes.
Literally, the Russian Dolls alone cause an imbalance. And we were two Muppets away from tying up women to Muppets.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. If Miss Piggy was there, she would count for both, right?
So. Yes, but yeah, all of this to let's make sure Nick Cannon gets a spot. Yeah, this is ridiculous, actually. Actually ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I'm leaving this dead air. I'm speechless. I'm literally speechless.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, then let me speak for you.
Well, what are you about to say?
I don't know. Thank you, everyone, for this wraps up our week coverage of Masked Singer. Puya, where can people find you? What are you up to?
It wasn't a week. She meant weekly coverage, not week as in WEAK. This was a strong podcast. Strong podcast.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find me on all major social media platforms. That's Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube. It's Puyaism for all of those platforms. I am about to finish season 8 of 90 Day Fiancé with Rob Cesternino himself. We just talked about the first half of the tell-all, the reunion, if you will. And it's been very exciting. I can't wait to see what they do for the second half. And that is the thing that's happening. You can check that out. Obviously, Big Brother is starting to wind down, We're at the final six. As of tonight. So we'll see where that goes. You will find me in the mornings on Friday talking about everything going on live feeds with Taryn. That's going to be happening. And aside from that, I do stream 3 times a week over on twitch.tv/Puyaism. We've got the pad coming up on Friday nights. And of course, your weekly Among Us gameplay going down 5 p.m. Eastern on Sundays as well. Now, Liana, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race. Although this week is the reunion, so we're probably not going to have an episode this week. If you are listening to this on the week of the, what week is this? I don't know, whatever. Today's the 15th of April. If that sounds familiar to you and this isn't an apocalyptic future where you're listening to this on an old radio. Anyway, whatever. Drag Race is going on. Then All Stars is going to start up probably soon after that. So bing, bing, bong, sing, sing, song. Check out that coverage. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Lovely. The other thing is we wrapped up the Circle UK last week, and that was a good time. That was a good time. It was a delight talking to Taryn and Rowan every week. And I'm going to miss that. But the Circle US said, hey, don't miss it too much. We're going to come back. So I'm going to get to talk about the Circle US at some point as well. And I haven't watched it yet. So I'm very excited to see how this is going to play out. I feel like they've like touted it to be strategic. So I'm like, okay, show it to me and we'll see. And obviously I want to say before we get out of here, a huge, huge thank you to everyone who has left a rating or review for the podcast these last couple of weeks. It really does mean a lot. It really does help get the word out there on the good stuff we do here. Sometimes silly, but a lot of times good. And it is very much appreciated. We are up to, at this point, 102. So we did break.
Woo!
That's right. We did break the ratings that we were trying to get to. The goal of 100 has been shattered, and I can't thank you enough. However, I'm down to keep it going if you are. If you would like to leave a rating and review, please go to robinsonwebsite.com/MassSinger. That's robinsonwebsite.com/MASKEDSINGER. It is always appreciated, and I do thank you in advance. Now, the only place that's left for us to go here is to get in our spaceship, jump out, shoot out into the orbit, tilt 98 degrees, and go towards Uranus. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening this week. We look forward to chopping up the Super 8 next week. But until then, stay masked, stay hydrated, and take care. Bye.